Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready to wrap up their series at home against the Nationals. And we've got Jesse Agler here to preview the game before we watch the game and enjoy a win.
That's very detailed fantasy you've sort of come up with here.
Also in studio, we've got the big man around the ballpark, Bill Center.
So like when you're walking around the ballpark and people are asking you for your autograph, Bill, you know, you sometimes you sign the ball for the little kid who's wearing his center jersey.
Exactly.
And you say, oh, man, that one wasn't good. So do you redo it for the kid, or is he stuck with a dud?
Like that's ever happened.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Sunday, May 17th, 2015. Kids Fest! Just like every Sunday home game out at the park at the park. Also, Military Sunday here at Petco. We are live at the AMR studio on the bottom floor of the Western Metal Supply Company building in the team store at Petco Park. Seen a lot of people coming by today. Got to get new gear for the new year. It is still the new year, right? This is still, can we call this the early part of the season still?
Yeah, we're not even a quarter of the way through. We got a long way to go.
All right, so there's 162 games.
Right.
And the Padres right now have won exactly as many as they've lost.
Right.
How do we feel about that after last night?
After the last couple games, I haven't felt great, but it's still early. I still don't think this team's hit their stride yet, but they got to find some momentum soon. What concerns me is we haven't gone, like Bud said, we haven't gone once through the starting rotation on a pitching and had everybody click one time. I mean, five straight times. I have all five starters click in the same tour through. And you really need to have that happen.
That's how you win, you know, 10 out of 12 or 5 in a row, whatever it is.
And that's how you get on a roll.
And that's what we're waiting for.
Right.
We're waiting on the roll. Now, all that said, I bring this up right out of the chute because we got a tweet. And remember, you can tweet at us using the hashtag PadresSH. That's the way you tweet at us. You use the hashtag. So right off the bat, Alex here, and he's a semi-regular tweeter. He says, hey, don't forget to remind folks what day it is, Sunday, May 17th, what game number this is. What is it, like 32, something like that?
This is 39.
39, okay. And that the Padres' record is at 500. So I assume Alex's point is, hey, relax, everybody. But I think your point is good, too, which is that they're treading water right now.
Right.
And treading water's fine early in the season, if this is still early in the season. But we're in mid-May now. Memorial Day is going to be here, and then it's summer, and then it's not early in the season anymore. So I think a lot of people are waiting for what you just said, that roll, waiting for them to get on that roll.
If you get on a roll and you win 8 or 9 straight and all of a sudden the momentum's building, even if you got a little bit of a funk after that, you're still going to be able to rebuild and go on from there. But this team needs to put together some wins, not win 2, lose 3, win 2, lose 1, win 3.
Yeah.
You're just sort of stuck in that 500 mode.
That's been the pattern.
Right.
Now, all of that being said, you know, if you play 500 and you have one really good month, you're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So I don't mind if that really good month is September, if they continue to tread water. The issue, I think, is if you look at the standings, the Dodgers don't appear to be slowing down at any point.
No.
They're a really, really good baseball team. And look, before the season started, the Dodgers were projected to be a 94-95 win team. They're on their way to doing that.
They're on their course.
So here's my next question to you. Are we already at the point where we recalibrate our sights, not at the division title, but rather at a wild card spot? They're like 5, 5.5 back of LA right now.
Well, quite honestly, I was sort of banking on the wild card spot all along, and if you could challenge the Dodgers, that'd be fine. But my whole thinking since spring training is, hey, you got to make the playoffs with this team. You've got to make the playoffs. Not necessarily, if you're in the playoffs, you're in the hunt. That said, you know how I feel about the one-game wild card playoff.
It's a tough one. It's
right.
A tough one. You're in for the moment.
For one game.
We know
guaranteed.
All too well around here what that extra game, and I know that wasn't a playoff game against Colorado, but if one thing goes badly or the umpires get one thing wrong, that's it.
Right.
There is no next day. So you're right. It's a little bit tenuous. Let me answer my own question with my own opinion. No, you should not yet recalibrate your sights only on the wild card. I think this team, if they can get on a roll, I think eventually the Dodgers are going to slow down a little bit. I think they're a very good team, but I still say aim for the top, and we'll see what happens. But Padres got to take care of themselves.
Right.
They got to take care of their business.
Well, I agree with you. You aim for the top, but the first thing first is you've got to get on that roll to put yourself in playoff position to then challenge the Dodgers. I mean, it doesn't do you any good if you're just going to go in this up and down cycle.
You got to break the cycle.
Right.
Break the pattern.
You just reminded me of an old baseball. Sparky Anderson used to talk about every team is guaranteed 60 wins and 60 losses. It's what you do with those other 42 games that determine what's going to happen to you.
I love that, by the way.
Right.
I think it's a great old axiom or cliche, whatever you want to call it. I think there's something to that. You're all going to win 60. You're all going to lose 60. The other 42 are what, you know, differentiate a first-place team from a second-place team or from a last-place team, for that matter. No, I think that's a good one. All right, so last night, a 4-1 loss to the Washington Nationals. It's weird because it felt like early on it was 12-0, and it never got out. It's 4-0, you know, like that's – look at the lineup. The Padres have some really good run producers in their lineup, but it felt like they were out of it. Part of that is Max Scherzer, and I think it's important to recognize and point out that Max Scherzer is one of the best starting pitchers in baseball. He is a true legitimate ace, and he struck out, 11 last night? So I think he gets some of the credit for it feeling like 12-0, but recent form gets some of the credit for that as well. And that's got to be so frustrating, right? Because 4-0 is not tough. And they eventually get the one in the ninth inning. They had their other opportunities, and it's been an amazing thing watching this team with the offensive talent that they have and the offensive ability that we've seen in some games just almost disappear in other games.
Right. I mean, third in the league in runs scored still, and you've been shut out 6 times, and that's a very unusual combination. In fact, they were saying that after 40 games that there are only six other teams in Major League history that have been at the top of the league in runs and had 6 or more shutouts after 40 games.
It's not an easy thing to do. It's a little bit of a weird statistical oddity.
And that's part of what Bud's been talking about, this quixotic-type Jekyll and Hyde way that the Padres
look at you, double literary reference.
Right. Well,
They're
playing.
You went Don Quixote and Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll
like
and
that,
Mr.
Huh?
Hyde, yeah.
But they've been winning games 11-4. You know, they've scored 10 runs a number of times, and then you get the games where they don't score at all.
One could say that trying to be five games over 500 has been their white whale.
Right. Ooh.
You could say that Monday was the best of times, but Tuesday was the worst of times.
I see. You're trying to catch up with me.
Yeah, we're keeping score
now. You want to go one up?
No, I'm happy with a tie.
You're happy with a tie?
Yeah, you're a professional writer.
You're 500.
Yeah, that's, you know what? Maybe I should aim higher. I think I've used up all of my literary knowledge, though.
But it's interesting to me that
this roster has been a Frankenstein project. They've put together pieces from all over the place.
There you go.
Mary
You're ahead.
Shelley,
you just had to get ahead,
all
didn't
right.
you?
Yeah, go ahead.
But there have been very few. There have been very few 3-2, 4-3 ball games so far this season. They've either been big losses or big wins, and it's hard. And that's another thing to get on a roll when you have that really wide range of performance.
Yes, I would agree with that. It is difficult, and that's sort of the challenge that the Padres are facing at this point in time. All right, as we said, the hashtag to join us on the Twitter is PadresSH, so feel free to jump in there. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour, watch the show there, also chat with other fans. We try and make this thing as interactive as possible. We'll get to all of the tweeters as the show goes on. I do want to take one more moment, though, Bill. We mentioned yesterday on the show with Randy, Ollie Brown, the original Padre, passed away this week at the age of 71. You're sort of our resident historian. Ollie Brown, of course, has a very, very special place in Padre history, being the first choice of the expansion draft, but like a legitimately productive early Padre as well.
Right. Well, he was, when they drafted him, and he was the first pick in the expansion draft, and that was in October of 1968. So Ollie Brown, as the first pick of the Padres, the first Padre, he was the poster child for this franchise for that winter, spring training, and the first part of the season. And Ollie Brown was really a solid ball player. He had already spent parts of 4 major league seasons with the Giants when he got here at the age of 24. excellent defensive outfielder, great speed, good power. He was one of those, he was an early five-tool guy before there were five-tool guys. Hit 272 here. Might still have the best throwing arm ever by a Padre outfielder.
I heard you saying this yesterday. Right. You think he's got the greatest arm of all time in Padre history.
When he came out of Long Beach Poly High before the draft, they didn't know if he was a pitcher or an outfielder. And his first year in the minor leagues, he threw a no-hitter in the Midwest League as a pitcher. Then he went to Fresno the next year, California League, as an outfielder, hit 40 home runs, and that's where he got the nickname Downtown.
Yeah.
Because the ballpark faced downtown Fresno.
And all the balls he was hitting were going there.
Right. But, I mean, great. Before the Gwynns, the Browns were the first athletic family of Long Beach. His brother, Willie, his older brother, Willie,
great running back,
was the first I-formation running back at USC and a key member of the 1962 National Championship Trojan team. But Ollie decided to play baseball. Would have been a first-round draft pick if they had the draft back then. I thought, what a tremendous, great athlete. I really always liked Ollie Brown as an athlete.
Very nice.
And I remember just in 68, 69, when you were getting ready for that first season, Ollie Brown was your superstar. He was the face of the franchise into the course. Nate Colbert came along with the power, the home runs. Clarence Cito Gaston had the better batting average, and Ollie Brown sort of faded a little bit. But he will always – there will never be another number one Padre.
There you go. First ever Padre. All right, very nice recollections right there. Hey, remember a few minutes ago we showed that tweet from Alex, and he wanted me to remind everybody what day it was and that the team was 500.
Right.
He missed the tweet. He just tuned in 15 seconds late. He's very upset on Twitter. Sorry, Alex. Them's the breaks.
Oh, by the way, this is the anniversary 1972 – May 17th is when Ollie Brown got traded to the Oakland A's.
So that's today.
That's today.
Oh, that's wild how that
happened. How about that?
There you go. All right, you put a nice bow on the thing. Hey, by the way, Austin Hedges, we believe, is going to stop by live to the studio. That'll be nice. Catch up with the 22-year-old catcher and see how his first career start at Petco was last night. Throughout a couple of would-be base stealers.
Right.
Yeah.
The one that impressed me was getting the guy in the delayed steal because, okay, it's one thing to throw out a base
runner. Out by 10 feet.
Right. But
why are you trying to delayed steal, Washington? Come on.
Well, because, I mean, delayed steals are great, especially against a rookie catcher, but
no, he ain't sleeping on that.
Right.
We'll talk
to him about. He's not a rookie catcher.
I got to take the break. We're very late.
Okay.
We'll talk more about last night's game, more about Austin Hedges. He's going to come up here in a little bit. Also, speaking of local talent, Steven Strasburg pitching today for the Washington Nationals, and I hesitate to say this, but this is his kind of day today. This is Steven Strasburg weather. He loves this stuff, and we'll see how that goes. Team up with Pedal the Cause and the San Diego Padres to raise funds for life-saving cancer research at San Diego's world-class research centers. The event is September 18th through 20th. Register today and ride with the Padres. Go to gopedal.org and use the promo code GOPADRES, gopedal.org. Had a great time talking with Mike D and Bill Coleman about that on yesterday's show. Really, really cool event. Kids Fest starting to get going out at the park. Many more children will be coming that way. We'll take a break. More Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Austin Hedges going to join us in a little bit. Looking forward to catching up with the catcher. You see what
there
I did there?
There you go again.
Oh, that's why they pay me the big bucks. we're gonna catch up with the catcher. Hey, that's pretty good. All right, so we got that coming up. As I said, you can join us on Twitter. Sometimes you get really good Twitter contributions to the show, and they can really keep the thing going. And then sometimes you get like this from Mr. Master 1872. He says, can you read this, LOL? Yeah, we can, Mr. Master. And there you go. You're famous now.
Right.
You're internet famous. Congratulations.
You're on there.
Cody is hanging out here today. Cody has a good question, and not for the first time. Now, the first time Cody asked a question when he was here, it was terrible. But he's really righted the ship, and his last several questions have been outstanding. And this is a legitimate question that I'm sure a lot of people were asking themselves last night. Why is it that every time Andrew Cashner pitches, he can't get no run support? What's up with that?
Well, I think the Padre other players conspire to say, let's not get any hits. No, seriously, well, Cashner's run into a lot of good opposing pitchers during this.
Yes.
And so that's got to that's got to affect it. And a little bit, he's been down early in games, and I think that also, once a pitcher, any pitcher, gets an early lead, he's throwing a lot different, and the other team's struggling to catch up, and I think that makes a big difference.
I would say,
but run support is, in his last five starts, Cashner's got two runs while he's been on the mound pitching. And he's been, last night would have marked the third time in five games that the Padres were shut out when he was pitching, except they got the run in the ninth. So.
Right, which was long after he had departed.
Right.
I'm impressed, by the way, that he went six last night, because at the beginning I was like, uh-oh.
Right.
You know, I think it was about 30 pitches in the first inning.
Right.
And, you know, he looked frustrated, and he really did settle in and
right.
provide a decent start when all was said.
Let's be honest here. He did not look sharp at all in the first inning. And he said, and he admitted afterwards, that he felt a little bit out of sorts. You know, I have a little bit of a concern with Cashner right now, and it's a very fixable thing, but he seems to be in a spot right now, and the defense has not helped him. He's had a lot of, but he's given up the first run in almost all eight of his starts. In other words, the other team's been on the board first. And to me, that's a little bit of a concern, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's an interesting.
Well, you brought up the defense, and I want to talk about two plays yesterday defensively, because we all know about all the unearned runs that have been allowed when Cashner has pitched. And look, his own error, you know, hurt himself last night throwing a ball into center field. But there was a play that was not an error last night that I thought really hurt him in the first inning. Who was it? Desmond? The hot shot to third base.
Right.
And Middlebrooks had to go, you know, past him and into left field. You know, they called it a double, which is fine. It was a tough play, certainly, for Will Middlebrooks. But it's a play he's capable of making. And if he makes that play, who knows? You know, the first inning could have been a completely different thing.
And honestly, that's happened to Middlebrooks now a couple times in the last 3 days. And Major League third baseman has to make that play. And, yes, I agree with you totally. That could have turned that inning around. And another ball got, I mean, it was a single, but it also got past an infielder. But, yes, Middlebrooks has got to make, Major League third baseman has to make that play.
So that doesn't help Andrew Cashner. But he also was helped defensively last night in a way we haven't really seen before. Corey Spangenberg, that 4-6-3 double play, huge moment to sort of help him be able to go as long
as
he did.
Great play, diving to his right and then hitting the ground and being able to make the good toss to Amarista to get the double play. I thought that was a great play. You know, another great play, I thought Will Venable made a great play on Cashner's throw. I mean, honestly, that could have been a four-base error.
Yeah.
I mean, because Cashner had really put some juice in that throw to second. We're talking about Cashner's error. And Will Venable had to go to his left and make a diving stop on that ball. Now, if that ball gets through, there are people running for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it was a really big play in that game. So nice job by Corey Spangenberg, who has never really had a home defensively, but has looked really very solid all of a sudden over at second base. And that leads us to our next Twitter question, which comes from Aztec Devin, who wants to know, Bill, if we think that Corey Spangenberg has developed into an everyday player.
Not yet. And I think he's got, you know, an everyday major league player. And Spangenberg right now is a little bit in an offensive funk. But an everyday major league player has the stamina to play every day. And I don't think that Spangenberg is quite there yet physically. I still think he's got some work to do on his strength and his conditioning and on his durability. I think he can be, but I don't think he's there quite yet.
Okay. What do you want to see next from Corey Spangenberg? What's the next step for Corey Spangenberg? Now that he is essentially getting the opportunity to play every day, we're saying he's not a quote-unquote everyday player, in your opinion. So what's next?
What's next is I want to see him a little bit more select. If he's going to be the leadoff hitter, I want to see him a little bit more selective on his pitches. I don't want to always see him hitting the first pitch, trying to get more walks. He did get the four walks in the one game. But basically, like Will Myers, he's an early count hitter. I think Spangenberg's going to be best served if he takes some pitches, draws some walks, and once he gets on base, uses speed a little bit more, steals some more bases, Move first to third.
I do really like the fact that he's getting the opportunity to play every day right
yes.
now. I think that's helping him. I think that's a big part of the development for a young guy like this. Plus, it means we get to continue to say that we're rolling with Spangy, which is the best part of the whole deal as far as I'm concerned. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about today a little bit more. Steven Strasburg out on the mound against Ian Kennedy, two guys that we have a lot to discuss about, and Austin Hedges will join us coming up in a few minutes as well. Come out to Petco Park on Tuesday. The Cubs are in town, Bill. And not only are the Cubs in town, but it's also Taco Tuesday presented by Cholula Hot Sauce. $1 tacos all night long and every Tuesday home game. Plus, you get to see the Cubs and the Padres at 7:10. Get your tickets today at Padres.com or the box office. Again, five tacos, $5. Taco Tuesday presented by our friends at Cholula. Take a break, and when we return, talk about today's pitching matchup. Ian Kennedy and Steven Strasburg. Padres Social Hour continues live from the AMR studio right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres Social Hour with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Military Sunday, Kids Fest. Love these Sunday home games. And for these players, right, Bill, today is a nice one because day game here at home, off day without travel tomorrow. And after that long trip to San Francisco, Phoenix, and Seattle, these players could probably use a day to kick their feet up tomorrow.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and you got this evening, you can go home, get a little extra rest, have a nice day. I mean, and for a lot of these players still, this is their first time to really walk around San Diego. I mean, they've been playing almost every day at home.
Yeah.
They were at spring training, once the season starts, they have very few days at home.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about the pitching matchup today, Ian Kennedy and Steven Strasburg. Let's start with the Aztec, not the Trojan. Let's start with the Aztec. Strasburg, ERA is up around 6.
Right.
He's had his ups and downs. Look, the strikeouts are there. You know about the raw talent. But, you know, there has been adversity for Steven Strasburg. Really throughout his entire big league career, but now maybe more so than ever. Home cooking is probably a nice thing for him. What do we make of Steven Strasburg at this point in his career? And I hate to say compared to the hype of when he got drafted, but that's obviously got to be part of the conversation.
Right, but now he's into the day-to-day thing, and there are I've seen the rumors, I've seen the concerns that is his arm okay again? Those have come up. There have been questions about is he 100% healthy? And the truth is that generally this deep into a career, no pitcher is 100% healthy. But his stuff hasn't been electric this year like it's been in the past. Maybe being back in San Diego, the native San Diegan. And by the way, Steven Strasburg had a very close relationship with Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the first time he's – so it, maybe being home will help him. I really like Steven Strasburg as a person. I met him a couple times. Really a good guy. I don't wish him great luck today.
But you don't want to see him get knocked around?
I
wouldn't mind seeing him get knocked around. No personal offense to him or San Diego State.
Well, what if he comes up short in a 3-2 decision?
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it, but like I said, I wouldn't mind seeing the Padres explode for like 12 hits today.
Okay.
And 8 runs or something like that. Or 16 hits. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But I get what you're saying.
Right.
I understand, and I appreciate where your heart is, but I've got one objective.
Win.
Yeah, that's it.
Win
that's
big.
It. All right, so that's Strasburg. Ian Kennedy, meanwhile, weird start.
Whoa.
Last time out. The
right.
velocity wasn't there. The sharpness wasn't there. This now qualifies, therefore, right, as a big start
right.
for Ian
this
Kennedy.
I think this is an important start. Bud sort of alluded to that today in his pregame talk that they've actually spent a lot of time working with Kennedy in the past week. They've spotted something in his mechanics. Bud was talking about how Ian was going side to side a little bit with his body when it instead of coming to the plate. And when he does that, he tends to try to overthrow, trying to look for more velocity. But yet his fastball last time was down under 90, and he struggled. He didn't have sharpness to his secondary pitches. Honestly, some of those pitches look like batting practice pitches in Seattle.
Yeah, so we'll watch Ian Kennedy very closely today.
Right.
If you're here at the ballpark, you know they put the velocity up on the scoreboard in left field. If you're watching at home, obviously, they show it every pitch on Fox Sports San Diego. The Ian Kennedy fastballs, you'd love to see 92, 93. If it's back at 88, 89 like last time out, then maybe, you know, another something to keep an eye on. But you know, play along at home.
Right.
Or here at the ballpark today, something to definitely keep track of. You'd love to see Ian Kennedy with the big start today.
And they need it because, I mean, Despaigne struggled. Kennedy has struggled his last couple starts. The back and help is not immediate. And you're not sure when Morrow, who is just playing catch,
yeah,
and Josh Johnson, who is not even started a rehab facility, I mean rehab assignment yet, you don't know when they're going to be back. One of these guys or both of them have to start coming through.
All right. We'll take a break when we come back. We're going to have Austin Hedges with us. We'll talk to the Padre catcher. And then after that, we'll get to some more Twitter questions. So we got some fun moments coming up. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. The catcher who made his home debut as a starter last night, Austin Hedges, will join us when we return. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Final game of a four-game series between the Pods and the Nats coming up here at Petco Park. Very happy to be joined by Padre catcher Austin Hedges up in the big leagues for, about a week and a half now?
Right.
Well, how about that? Well, San Francisco, I lost track during the road trip. I lost all track of time. Called up in San Francisco, and we're going to put him on the Cholula hot seat. He's a rookie. He's coming in. He's on the Cholula hot seat. It has been activated, and don't worry, it doesn't get too hot. First of all, man, thanks for coming by, and congratulations on getting the call.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, you've told the story, and we've probably told the story a dozen or so times about how you got the news from Pat Murphy down at AAA. The police were involved, or at least people that looked like the police. So we don't have to retell the story, but I would like to ask you what the moment was like when it hit you that, oh, man, this is happening. This is the moment.
Yeah, it was, because Murph kind of made it into such a big deal with pretending like I was in trouble, I really didn't even know what was going on. It was just went from panic to, is this real life? I need to call my parents. What's going on? It was so many emotions happening all at one time. Once I really talked to my parents, I think it was like, wow, this is happening, and it was amazing.
You know, I got a there's a debate going on, a little bit of a debate. Maybe you heard it. Are you better served with being in AAA and hitting every day, or do you learn more? Are you better served by being up here and watching the major league game and participating in the daily activities of a major league player?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm so excited to be here, a part of this team. This team has, you know, we're trying to win a World Series here. And the fact that I've been given the opportunity to be a part of this team and help contribute in whatever way I can, that's really all I'm focused on. Whenever I'm back there, I want to help take care of the pitching staff and help get us wins. That's really all I'm focused on.
There was never a question about your ability to catch and handle pitchers and stuff. There was a question as to could you hit major league pitching. So you're in El Paso this year, and you're really hitting the ball well. Had you thought at all that the time was coming sooner than later?
The thought never really crossed my mind. I try and show up every day ready to play for when I was in El Paso. I wanted to win for the Chihuahuas. Still work with my pitchers and go out there and contribute offensively as well. So when I got that call, it was a shock to me because I really didn't think about it. I feel like if I did, it probably would have hindered my play there.
Got to focus on the task at hand, and Austin Hedges was certainly doing that in El Paso, put up monster offensive numbers this year, and of course continued to bring the stellar defensive play to the yard as well. Let's talk defense for a moment. Last night, first two catcher caught stealings of your major league career. They tried the old delayed steal on you. I'm thinking, man, if anybody knows anything about Austin Hedges, it's that he's got the crazy arm and the ability to throw base runners out. There was no fooling you last night on that play.
No. I was shocked. I didn't know. I don't know if I've ever seen a delayed steal in the big leagues watching on TV. But when he went, luckily for me, growing up in Southern California, we're all about delayed steals and kind of first and third trick plays. So I was aware of it. I was glad that Alexi was heads up there and he was able to get to second base to put the tag on him.
That's a good point, too, because you're almost throwing to an unoccupied base when the ball leaves your hand. He's got to get
there.
Yeah,
it was almost like a quarterback. I had to lead him a little bit, just throw it over the bag, and hopefully he did, and he got there.
Yeah, no, he got there, and he was out by a couple of feet. So that was a fun one to watch. I know from having watched you that you really enjoyed that part of the game. There's some fabulous YouTube highlights out there that people may or may not have seen of Austin right. Hedges throwing out a guy to end an inning and walking off the field before the ball even gets to second base.
I like the getting the runner at third. I mean, that's a tough one because he's got a bigger lead. He's got less to run. I mean, and the throw you made there was right at the bag. I mean, that was a great throw.
Yeah, that was. I was pretty pumped on that one just because it was a big situation in the game. Got us the second out of the inning, and then Cash was able to make a pitch and then get Desmond out. But yeah, and also to get that first caught stealing out of the way was pretty exciting.
But you had to wait for the appeal. What was that?
The review?
I was pretty nervous because I thought maybe he got under it, but then once they showed the replay, he definitely didn't quite get there, and Brooksy put a nice tag on him.
So when they showed the replay on the board, you're watching?
Yeah, we were all kind of standing on the mound watching the Jumbotron, and we saw it. I was like, oh, thank you.
You got him.
Nice tag from Middlebrooks. Really nice throw, too. So what was it like the first home start last night? That's another box to sort of check off the list.
Yeah, that was amazing. I had lots of family and friends in town, and, I mean, the sold-out crowd was unbelievable. And facing a guy like Scherzer and, you know, catching Cash, I kind of just tried to take it all in and – but then just go out and try and get us a win.
I'm glad to hear that you're able to take it all in because I imagine you're so locked in on the task at hand that it can be very easy in a situation like that to sort of block it all out. But that makes me happy for you as a human being that you're able to.
Yeah,
to
I mean, as a human being, I'm trying to take it in as much as I can. But definitely once I'm on the field, then it's go time.
So how different is this being up here and absorbing everything as a first-time catcher in the major leagues? How much is there to learn that you didn't already know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's a ton. My only glimpse was in having 3 years of big league spring training, learning from all those guys, which was huge for my career. But actually being able to be here when the games actually matter and, you know, just a day in spring training is a lot different than a day in a normal season. So watching guys' routines and seeing how they get themselves ready every day, and obviously the guys that have been doing it so successfully for a long time, definitely taking note on a lot of that.
So I got last year, you were having a decent year hitting at San Antonio. You sort of tailed off at the end, didn't wind up with, I think it was about 225. This year, great start at El Paso with the bat. What was different? What had you done differently?
I mean, a lot of things in San Antonio, I don't want to say didn't quite go my way. I felt like at near the end of the year, lost a little bit of my approach. I thought the swing was there, but then made a few adjustments this offseason. Started hitting with my hands a little bit more, allowed me to just trust my swing and be able to just focus on seeing the baseball and stick with my approach, and felt like I've done a good job with that so far this year.
So how much different are major league pitchers to AAA pitchers?
It's quite a bit. I mean, Bumgarner, you know, Scherzer, all these guys, they're the best in the world. So, I mean, there's a big difference.
You debut against Bumgarner, and that's your first pinch hit appearance, and now your first home starts against Scherzer.
Yeah, definitely two of the best in the league, which makes it fun, though. I just get in the box, and it's fun to compete against guys like that.
The one to left field last night, I thought there was a moment I thought it was good. But, you know, hey, hit the ball nicely a couple of times. The first start, though, in San Francisco, knocking off the first hit and the first RBI right out of the chute. That had to be nice. Like you just kind of get rid of that stuff, right?
Yeah, I wasn't too focused on getting that first hit. Just I saw, you know, runners in scoring position, big situation in the game, and to battle down 0-2 and shoot that thing up the middle past Crawford, because I mean,
yeah,
I thought he might be able to get to that. He's unbelievable over there. But to have that go through and be able to get a run across the board, that was fun.
Yeah, and that helped the Padres get to victory, and obviously the family was there as well, which had to be really nice.
Oh, yeah, being able to share that with them and seeing them after the game, that was incredible, yeah.
So awesome. You got the family running north and south right now, right?
Pretty much. They're going to get a lot of miles on that car, that's for sure.
That's awesome. All right, Austin Hedges handled himself beautifully on the Cholula hot seat. Congratulations on the home debut last night as a starter, and good luck the rest of the way, man.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. That's Austin Hedges on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Great stuff with Austin Hedges. More Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. It's a Sunday edition of Padres Social Hour. Fourth and final game between the Padres and the Nationals coming up here this afternoon. Strasburg and Kennedy. Kennedy against Washington. Get it?
Whoa.
Presidential reference. We got a bunch of good stuff coming in on Twitter. You can use the hashtag PadresSH right there. Thanks to Austin Hedges for coming by.
That was great.
Yeah, it was really nice catching up with him. Good kid, man.
Oh, yeah.
Localish.
I remember when they drafted him that he was projected as a first-round pick, but he had this extremely strong commitment to UCLA, and UCLA had a history of not losing players that committed to them in the draft, and he was passed over in the first round, and the Padres took a gamble with their second round pick, took him, and it worked out.
And here we are, a couple of years later, right. 22 years old in the big leagues, and as we saw last night, the guy's got all the defensive skills in the world behind the plate. The question is going to be at this level, how's he going to hit?
Right.
And I don't know that we're going to get the answer to that question anytime soon.
Right. And there's a bigger, you know, there's this question out there that in tweetdom, as they call it, that hey, who are they going to trade? Will they trade Norris or Hedges? Well, you never know if you know they do a deal where Norris goes to a corner infield position. It's a great position to be in because there are a lot of different ways you can work this one out.
That is for sure. So we'll kind of see how that all goes. And I thought your question to him was, who knows? He doesn't have the answer to it, but whether it's better to be down in El Paso
right.
or better to be up here, that's kind of the million-dollar question. I kind of like this. I like the fact that he's exposed to all of
right.
this. I think, you know, especially with the frequency in which Derek Norris is starting for right now, you know, he's getting an opportunity to take it all in, and he was showing that he could hit at AAA. I mean, he had a great start offensively
right.
down there, and we'll see. I don't know that calling him up is the end-all, be-all of everything for Austin Hedges, and we'll kind of see how this thing moves going forward.
And, you know, once Tim Fedorovich is healthy around the All-Star break, maybe Austin's better served going back to El Paso and finishing up with a great second half there. There are a lot of variables here.
Yes, there are. And let's get to some questions because there are some questions
gotcha.
Coming in that have variables. Twitter has been good today. PadresSH is the hashtag. Blooper, what's our first tweet right here? Oh, thank you very much. My brother-in-law is here with the family. He likes the Sox.
Yeah.
I don't know that he knew that Sox were a big topic of conversation on the show or if –
they're your topic conversation.
No, I actually hate the sock talk, but other people love it.
Oh,
and it
they're
keeps
all
going.
I know. You so. Look out there, and they're all over your socks.
Yeah,
every
no,
day.
Everybody likes to. So I don't know if he knew that and he's playing along, or if he just made the observation
right.
independent
okay.
of everything. All right, what else do we got going on Twitter? Jose, here we go. He wants to know if it's time for some kind of players only meeting yet. Oh, we love players only
players
meetings.
Players only meetings. Yeah. Well, they meet all the time. We just don't see it. The doors don't close. You know. All the years that Bruce Bochy were here, I can only remember three closed-door, come-to-Jesus type meetings. Bud's not really like that, but no, we're not near that yet. They're 500. They are not like off to a terrible start. They're 500. Like you say, they're treading water. They're not drowning.
Okay. I mean, to me, I hear
right.
players-only meetings, and it's like, all right, it's
right.
Not
that doesn't get anything done.
I agree. It can't hurt. No. I don't know that it's going to help.
Well, everyone's, I mean,
I'm sure by the way that they are talking.
Right.
I don't want to insinuate that they're sitting around and all staring at the wall.
And sometimes the players say, hey, can we have coaches, everybody out of here for a minute? We've
right.
got things to discuss.
And that may have happened. Who knows?
Well, that was going to be my point. And if that has happened, you won't hear about it.
Right. They don't need to go
no.
advertising.
They won't
it.
Come out and say, hey, we just had a players-only meeting, and this is what we discussed.
Right. Okay.
So,
yeah.
Could have happened.
Could have.
Right.
Maybe been several of them. Who knows?
Right.
Jeff, I believe, is our next one. Jeffrey Jones, he is not happy with the way Andrew Cashner is being discussed. He says, will the Padres staff and press ever stop making excuses for Cashner's poor pitch execution? Now, Jeffrey, I can't speak for the entire staff and press, but I will say that I don't think that we're making excuses. I can speak only for myself. I think we're talking about some of the contributing factors.
Right.
Has he missed spots? Of course.
Every pitcher misses spots.
Yeah, but no. But, I mean, there have been times when, let's say, the defense lets him down, and then he gives up three or four straight hits, and, hey, they're all unearned, but he's still missing. There's no question about that. But there is a context to his win-loss record. Just look at his ERA.
Right.
It's absolutely part of the story. It is. Run support and defense, to me, it's not making excuses. It is part of the story of the season for
Huge
Andrew Cashman.
Contributing factors.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's not an excuse.
Right. And if does he make mistakes? But he should not be any worse than 500 right now.
Yeah.
If they had scored him some runs, if they had picked up the ball. You know, Bud yesterday admitted, our defense at times has been shoddy, and that's the word that he used, when Andrew Cashner has pitched.
Part of the deal.
Right.
It's a fact.
It happens to people. It happens to pitchers.
Mm-hmm. And it's happened a lot to Andrew Cashner.
You know, Randy Jones, the year that he lost 22 games, they were shut out in five of his first seven starts.
Right.
He had lost six straight. So there you go.
It happens. All right. Good friend East Village Times is up next, and getting way ahead of ourselves. When Melvin Upton and Alonzo return, who gets sent down with Almonte? You're assuming way too many things here.
Right.
East Village Times. So we're not going to answer your question because you're too far out in front. However, we do have a little bit more information on Melvin Upton and his rehab assignment.
Which really puts this question into perspective, because when Melvin Upton starts his rehab assignment Monday in El Paso, he will be in El Paso probably the full 20 games because it's going to be like his spring training. He's not going to play every day. He's going to start. He'll start a game, play half of a game, come out, maybe get the next day off, then go in, play a game, pinch hit, whatever. He's going to have at least 50 at-bats at El Paso before he's ready to play here. And he's not just going to be a quick five-day thing in El Paso and then be up here. It's going to be pretty much a full 20 days.
Yeah, so we've got some time.
Right. And Alonzo, there is no clock on when he's going to return either. That he has a very deep bruise on his back where he's a bone bruise, and it's going to take some time for him to get back.
So wait and see.
Wait and see.
Wait and see. There's no reason to try and figure out who's getting sent down when, A, you don't know who's going to be hitting well or hitting poorly, and you don't know when any of this is taking place.
Or who might, I mean, I don't want to say it, but who might get hurt or dinged in between.
All things could happen
again.
All right. I got one more tweet for you before we go to the break. It's from our buddy. You remember the Casey at the Bat guy from last year?
Yes.
He's checking in, Bill, and he wants to make sure you remember him. He's got Casey's big 127th birthday coming up on June 3rd. He just wants to make sure. Do you remember Casey?
Yes, I do. I do remember him.
Okay.
Okay. Yes?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you remembered.
Got him.
Okay. We'll take a break, come back, more Social Hour. How'd you like to guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game at Petco Park? Become a Padres season ticket member at the Gold or Platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets to this highly anticipated game. Call 619-795-5555 or email tickets at Padres.com to become a member today. 2016 All-Star Game right here at Petco Park. More Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Kennedy and Strasburg coming up. 110 first pitch here at Petco Park. Kids Fest filling in nicely at the park at the park. He's Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Let's bring up the starting lineup for the San Diego Padres for this afternoon's game. It's presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. We're rolling with Spangy. Gets another start at second base. Pretty much what we saw last night. Couple little changes. According to Seth here, we don't have a third baseman today, but I'm guessing Spangenberg is going to play third, and Jerko is going to play second. Norris back behind the plate. Way to go, Blooper.
Actually, that was the way they have it posted on the board in the clubhouse.
They have no third baseman?
Right.
So they're going to shift every day, every play?
Everything's a shift, right.
Only second base.
We got everybody on the right side.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Blooper maybe didn't proofread. I think that's what happened.
Oh.
Hey, but we're rolling with Spangy, even though he's at third base. So I mentioned it a moment ago, the Casey at the Bat guy. He came last year. You remember this, right?
I remember him.
You're acting like you don't have a strong recollection of it.
I've got a strong recollection
he
of it.
He came here in the around the All-Star break,
right.
I feel like.
And with his poem and his outfit.
Yeah, and he dressed up like the guy.
Right.
He's actually, he thinks he's Casey. And
right.
He dressed up and he did the whole poem.
He really thinks he's Casey.
Yeah, but anyway, he wants to catch up with you.
Yeah.
Make sure you write back to him on Twitter.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, back tomorrow at 5:30 on the off day. Mike Grace will be here with Kurt Pavakwa. Enjoy the game, everybody, and we'll talk to you then.